Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Praise you, Jesus. Did everybody sleep well?
Yes.
Yeah? Did you? I did. Thank you. I had some great dreams. Father, we just thank you for today. We love you so much. We give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Lord, have your way in here. Have your way in our hearts. Wreck us for your glory, Lord. Break through. Help us allow you to overtake us because you're so good. Yes. Right now, we lay aside our fears, our burdens, our issues, and we say yes to you, Jesus, whatever you have. Yes to you, Jesus. We want more. We know you've released it all, but help us connect to you, Lord. Lord, just like when the two guys were walking and you appeared and they talked with you and they didn't understand and their hearts were troubled. But when they broke bread, when you broke bread with them, their eyes were opened and they knew the revelation. Lord, I'm praying for the revelation to open in our hearts today. We can't do it, but you do it through us and you help us. And so we yield right now. We yield. We yield completely. We love you and we just want to honor you and worship you because you're so good. You are so good. And right now we just receive everything that you have for us. And Lord, we worship you. We throw our worship onto you this morning, Lord. And we glorify you because you're so good. And I pray for the ones that are coming. They're still coming in. Some are not morning people. I pray when they walk in this room, as they walk in, that they smell the sweet fragrance of you, Jesus. And that your fragrance just draws them into your glory, into your kingdom, into a perfect place of peace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen.
So we're going to worship the King, and then we'll see what happens. Hallelujah. Okay, go ahead, guys. Letting go is where he begins. That last video is really a picture of us. And how in plain sight, there he is. But in plain sight, there's a barrier in the natural, and it's called our flesh, which causes us to stumble at times and miss the connection of the Father. And when we find the connection of the Father, there's peace. There's always peace. There's always security. There's always love, and there's always truth. And as the little boy searched out the message, he began his journey. And the message was dusty. And I'm asking you, as I release whatever the Lord is releasing today, are you a little dusty? Is there some dust in your life that needs to blow away? Remember, dust is easy to blow away. It's not like clay that you have to dig out. It's just dust. You know, did the distractions and the cares of the world start to cause you to drift a little bit? Now, there's no condemnation because Jesus is always full of love and he's always reaching out his hand. And he knows the situations and the circumstances that we go through. But here's the thing. He wants to do it with us. And sometimes we get this, well, once I get this done, then I'll spend time with Jesus. Once I master this class or finish this work project, then I'll set aside time for Jesus. Well, here's the thing. That's a trick of the flesh and the enemy and the world system. And I mastered the world system. Holly mentioned, I think it was yesterday, you know, I did. I'm not one that, for some reason, God created me. I can follow a plan. I don't follow it all the way and all the time, but if I see do step A, I'll do it. And so I learned from the books how to master the world system. And I climbed and I spoke those positive confessions and accumulated wealth and had a family. And I went to church and I even knew what to say, you know, because they teach in those books, those books of the natural, you know. And one of my favorite things was, You know, God is first, my family is second, and work is third. And the truth of the matter is, work was always first. I was an overachiever. I had like an extra shot, an extra deposit of overachievement in my blood. And that had to get crucified, because balance in the spirit reflects in your natural realm. And we're perfectly aligned and balanced in Jesus. But sometimes we spill a little bit into the natural, and it causes chaos or you know, just misdirection or missed opportunities in the spirit. And like that book and the little boy, he blew off the dust and he opened up the manual and he set his course and he started on his journey. And he had to climb and dive and overcome and go in faith. And that's a picture for us today. And it's a simple picture, but I'm telling you, I'm very simple. I don't need the complex, you know, big books. I just need God. And see, here's the thing. When you find him, he gives you the way of truth, because he is truth. There is no error in him. And when you do blow it, when you do flesh out and like maybe just like think you heard from him and it wasn't, he's always right there to love you and welcome you back in his arms. One of the biggest obstacles I had to overcome was trust. How do you trust an unseen God? That's a big one for a lot of people. And I got to master that course, many years of trying and failing. And is this God, you know, how could God say that? Or, you know, I'm not hearing from God. And over the course, it's called the life, the journey, the walk of the spirit. We develop and grow our spiritual muscles. And you want to know what the key is? Show up. How easy. I mean, really, it is. But sometimes we tend to make it a system or a complicated thing, and it's not. And I know there's many people in here who have little kids. I went through that season. I had little twins. And it was hard to show up in the morning or in the night or whenever. It's hard when a baby wakes up and you haven't had any sleep. I know. I remember those days. I had preemies. I know what it's like. But listen, I wouldn't want to do it without Jesus ever. And he wants to do the diaper changing with us. And he's so funny. He loves to tell jokes. And sometimes when you're at your wit's end in the natural, he'll just give you a one-liner and it like sets your heart back to what it's really all about. He is so funny. And some of us don't know how wonderful and funny he is. And I'm praying for a revelation to explode in our hearts of the love of the Father. Some of us didn't have great fathers. I did not have a great father. I love my father and I honor and respect him. But I didn't get to know him until the end of his life, really. I lived with him, was raised by him, but he didn't show emotions. So I based what I knew and then reflected it onto the Father. And, you know, my eternal Father loves me so much, he sent his son to die for me. That should clear up pretty much everything. You know, I know that my natural father did his best. Don't we all do our best raising our kids? Yet somehow, sometimes the enemy will push, and you did a terrible job raising your kids. Well, hallelujah, I did the best I could. You know, you're right, I didn't do too good. But I'm not going to let that shame cloak me, because I know there's power in Jesus. And he walks in resurrection power all the time, and he released that for us. And so he said, take my garment of praise. So I know there's a couple people in here struggling with shame right now. And Jesus wants to do that great exchange. He wants to give you his garment of praise. And when you make that exchange, he won't force you. He's so gentle and kind. He's not like, this is what I'm seeing. He's not like the clerk at the store who's trying to get you to get that one last item, you know, the add-on item or a Taco Bell. Do you want it supersized? He's not like that. He's like, listen, I've died. I've given you all. Will you take it? No, not yet. Okay. And he waits. But he doesn't say, darn it, I wish you'd take it. He just waits. He's so full of love, he doesn't even have a bad thought in him. And so we sometimes reflect and think, oh, listen, God's going to set us free this weekend. He's going to reveal his heart to us in such a way where it overtakes us. His goodness is going to overtake us. I've seen it. And I'm believing for the revelation to manifest in everyone's hearts. Because once you get this, when the enemy says, oh boy, you really blew it with your kids. Or, oh boy, you know, you can't make a budget. Or, oh boy, you can't, you know, stop eating too much food. Or, oh boy, whatever it is. You know, whatever the sin that easily entangles you, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer. You know, and sometimes we were like, well, maybe if I try this next, you know, great book on the internet. Jesus is the answer. Yeah, I'm going to tell you something. I struggled with something for over 40 years. And I was fasting and praying. Lord, you got to deliver me of this. Oh, Lord, here I am again. Lord, I'm a wreck. I can't believe I'm still dealing with this issue. 40 years. Maybe 50. I don't know. No, it was 40. And I'm like, you know, sometimes you just don't want to pray about it anymore. You're like, well, I guess this is just who I am. No, I'm not. This is not who I am because I'm perfect in God's eyes. I'm created in his image. And this is an outward manifestation of my flesh, which is trying to rule and reign and cause me destruction. And so here I am again, Lord, you got to help me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to change, but I know you do. Will you help me ask the questions? That didn't work. Here I am again, Lord, 6 weeks later with that same stronghold, that same struggle. And you know, I don't let the enemy condemn me anymore because I came out from underneath that. You know, that pressure of condemnation is horrible. And so I refuse to engage in that. I just laugh when the devil tries to even suggest for me to go under that. And that freaks him out. When you start laughing at the devil, he doesn't know how to take that. It causes him to go, what? You know? She doesn't normally respond like that. Well, she does now. You know? See, because he doesn't know your thoughts. And if you start laughing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. There's a weapon right there. And so, with this issue that I had for such a long time, you know, I'd fast and pray and do different things. And one day, I'm walking, and I was actually fasting, and I was fasting about something completely different. It was probably the elections or something, I don't know. And, it was the condition of the body of Christ, that's what it was. Because there was like so much division, and I was praying, and my heart was to help the body come into him and not this side and this side. And I was praying and asking the Lord. I was going for a walk and I was asking the Lord a question. And he gave me a memory, a childhood memory of something that had happened to me. And when he did that, it was like that whole thing opened and I saw what it really was. And it had to do, what it had to do with was a reward system, an earthly reward system. And I'll tell you the false lie that I had. You know, I'd given up drugs and drink. I didn't give him up. He delivered me. Okay. And I made choices. See, sometimes we think, well, I'm not doing this anymore because I'm a Christian listen, I'll do whatever he wants me to do anytime because he's so great. You know, it's not, oh, I'm leaving this great life that I had. Listen, it wasn't that great. Let's be real. You know, without him, it's not great. And so what happened was somehow I believed this lie. Well, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. So I'm going to do this and reward myself. And what it would be was after I fasted, I would reward myself with something that I wanted. You know, like whatever. It doesn't even matter. Ice cream cone, a candy bar. It doesn't matter. And the Lord told me, you are rewarding yourself in the natural. I am the rewarder. I'm look to me for your reward. I'm like, you're right. I'm taking this counterfeit and throwing it away because it's trash. And it was such a revelation when I renounced the lie. And the lie was I was rewarding myself after I did whatever he wanted me to do, like a fast or something. And the belief system behind it was, and which was totally a false belief system, well, I've given up all this other stuff. At least I can have this. And for some of you, it might be a movie. You know, for some of you, it might be, you know, you go out and buy an expensive purse or whatever. But there's a hold there. There's a hook in the spirit. It's actually delaying some of the things that the Lord wants to do. And it's not, he's not delaying it. You are, okay? Because we're a little swayed to the one side. And so when I renounced that lie, I was like shocked because the issue, the real issue that I had been battling with was gone. But it looked like it was in layers of other stuff that would manifest. And it's like, that thing is so far removed. It was a stronghold, and I can barely remember what it is. I only remember because he's telling me right now to talk about it. See, when you're delivered, You don't stay in the memories of that stuff. Amen. They're gone. They're washed away in the sea of forgetfulness. Now that's a hallelujah. Yeah. Who else? What program? What pill will do that? Right. None. And so there's people in here with woundings in their hearts. And you know, we all have woundings. I'm not saying get your wounds healed. I'm saying go to Jesus. Because we can't fix our stuff or we would have. But Jesus is the one, the Holy Ghost, my best friend, my mentor, leads and guides me into all truth all the time. He's wonderful. And he always is waiting to point us true north. And sometimes we're like, oh, I'm going to run ahead of him like a little kid. Hey, I'm going first. And then we're like, I'm lost. I'm scared. Where am I? Jesus. And just like that, he puts us back on the path. You know why? Because our hearts are right. Our hearts are to seek him. And when we seek him, we will find him. When we seek him with all our heart. And he never withholds any good thing to those that love him. And so, you know, it's not like it's a reward system. It's just a show-up system. And then the issues of our heart get revealed. And usually not in front of others. It's usually in the quiet place when you sit with them and say, what are we working on today? I love that one song, Here's My Heart, Lord. You know, that's a prayer. That is a prayer. I remember when I first heard that, I was like, oh, my gosh, I would sing it all the time and pray it all the time. I'd get on the elliptical and I'd, you know, in my earbuds, here's my heart, Lord, you know. And he would tell me what we were working on that day. And it was always something that was workable. It wasn't like build this 10-foot building. No, it's like put this brick here or pull this out here or change this, you know, spend more time in my presence and less time doing this or whatever. And so I know God is doing something in here for every one of us. And, you know, he loves us so much that he is, he's equipped us to walk in his best. And so as we go through this weekend, we're going to have a lot of stuff that starts to shake. And when that happens, it's always good. Shaking is necessary because it blows the dust. It like breaks away the hardness in our hearts that we sometimes don't even know we have. You know, sometimes when stuff happens to us, we just keep going. You know, in my case, I was taught, just keep moving, just keep going. You know, I wasn't the one that would lay down and wallow and cry and why me? I'm more like, okay, I'm going again. And that's it's not a good thing and it's not a bad thing. But for my case, what happened was I ended up becoming an overachiever because of that. And there was no balance. And I know we have some overachievers in here because God's having me talk on this. I don't have a message. He didn't give me one. I tried. He didn't give me one. And I don't push and beg because I don't care. Because I know he's going to talk to the hearts of the people. He was talking to me about some, you know, he did it all, but yet sometimes we're still trying to do it for him. And so really he wants fellowship and intimacy. And so I'm going to share a couple things to help the overachievers first. We're going to go there first. So don't think I'm picking on you. I'm not. I'm, you know, been there, done that, and laugh now when it tries to come back at me. I'm a big laugher. I love to laugh. You know, there was years when I never did. You know, I was so bound in my emotions and so broken and so afraid and didn't trust anybody. You know, kind of grew up on the streets where you don't trust people, and, you know, you always got to watch your back and kind of know what's going on. And Jesus wrecked me. He rocked my world and wrecked everything I knew. And so, back to the overachievers. So one of the things that overachievers struggle with is they're always seeking approval. Whether they know it or not, they're seeking approval, and it's and approval of man. And it's usually related to, you know, lack of approval from their earthly father. You know, there's usually a stem there, not always, but usually. And in my case, I was raised with a strong work ethic. You know, if you want extra money, you work for it. And you know, I'm not sure where that system's at today, but in the natural. But so I had stuff I had to contend with. I had to contend with reward. You know, expecting a reward from the Lord if I did good, because he's already rewarded me with everything. You know, so there's no measuring system, and so. And one of the things, as a man pleaser, you want to do good. That's man pleasers want to do good. And then they want a little pat on the back, or even if they don't want a pat on the back, they may want that a girl or that a boy, you know, and some type of recognition. And so for me, I had to learn that I've already been recognized through Jesus. See, there's this thing, this great exchange. Everything has been taken care of through the cross. And it's up to us to lay our stuff down when it's presented and then pick up his goodness and, you know, his exchange. And so for me, when I met Jesus, you know, I was saved and I was doing the church thing and saying, you know, God is first, but he was last. Work was first because a performer gets it done. You know, we'll stay up late and we'll stay up even later because I don't like to get up early to get it done. And then we'll maybe get up in the middle of the night and monitor it and check it to make sure it's done, you know, because you're like, it's your baby, you're married to it. But here's the thing, that's wrong order. And God's going to reveal some of this today. And so how I got free was through a work of many trials. Of the Lord revealed to me I had an issue in this area. You know, it was like control. Make sure, you know, I had a company, so you have to make sure your employees are doing that, what they're supposed to do, reports, all that stuff, properties, all that stuff, kids, family. I had it all. But it was all being ran by me, the great me. And it was like teetering my building because it was built on sinking sand. You know, there was no Jesus in it, but it was the words, you know, because I knew how to speak. You know, I'm blessed and highly favored, you know. How you doing? I'm blessed and highly favored. Meanwhile, my building's going like this and one big blow and I'm going down, you know. And so it did go down, by the way. And it was a good thing, because here's the thing. It won't go down unless you go like this. I surrender. I don't know what I did. I don't know how I did this, but I surrender. Jesus, I'm letting you be Lord and I'm not. Those are big words. Because when it starts to topple, you're going to want to go, But here's the thing, Lord, you do what's best. Show me what's best. And oftentimes we'll say, do nothing, say nothing. And that's hard if you are a person who is used to giving orders. But see, what God wants to do is wants to train us to listen by the Holy Ghost and release the Spirit into the natural realm. You know, on earth as it is in heaven isn't just a slogan. It's reality. It's truth. It's structure. It's putting structure in. And so you can't have two buildings. You can't have an earthly structure and a spiritual structure. You know, they don't work. It's like one foot in and one foot out. You either are or you're not. You know, I'm just saying. Just saying. Been there. So one of the things that happened to me was, you know, I remember sitting in I don't know if you guys know this, but, you know, I went to a little nice community church and, you know, did the Bible studies and the fellowship and I loved that. It was good. But things at home were really bad and they weren't getting better. They were getting worse. And as the kingdom of God started to expand in our household, it got ugly. Because the kingdom of darkness was fighting back, okay? And I didn't know what to do, but I knew Jesus and I knew the Holy Ghost. And so he would lead and guide me just for that moment. Just for that moment. I couldn't see past today, okay? Because it just was impossible. Everything in my life was impossible. And I was like caged, you know, I was like trapped in my own empire, my own system that I built, and I wanted out. And I knew when you know the truth will set you free. It's not your works that set you free. It's the truth. And who's the truth?
Jesus.
Exactly. And so for me, when I realized, I remember sitting in one of Edgar and Holly's meetings on a Saturday night in Crystal Lake. And Holly was talking about idolatry, a word I never heard in my life. They don't teach that in like community churches. The one I went, they didn't. You know, they were word people. But I had heart issues and I had a lot of problems in my life, and I was looking to the church to help me, but they couldn't help me because they didn't know what was going on in my life. I didn't share. And until later. And so what happened was when I was at a Holly meeting, you know, I met Jesus, and it wrecked my world, because when you meet him, it'll wreck you. I mean, that's his job. It's to take you off of the lordship of your life and get you on your face and say, oh, my God, you are real, because he is. And see, I thought when you die, you might get to heaven if you're good enough, and you might see Jesus. I didn't know. You know, I had terrible doctrine. But when I met him, my doctrine opened. It was like I didn't care because I knew him, and he was real, and everything else was fake. And see, and what happened was the veil was broke. You know, the earthly realm. You remember when Jesus was walking with those two guys after he had died and was resurrected, and he walked and they were talking, oh man, it's really bad. And, you know, and then Jesus says, what's going on, you know? And then when they sat down and at the table and they broke bread, their eyes were opened. When your eyes opened and then the revelation came, they never close. They can't. It's impossible. Once you know Jesus, you know him. Well, whether you follow him or not is another story, but when you meet him or experience his power and his presence and his love, there's a deposit that, you know, you've got the deposit in you, but it's like a sponge that gets watered by living water and you come alive. And that's what happened to me. And I started to see the natural was really counterfeit and everything, and it was plastic. And it's designed to trick you. It's designed to lead you into bondage because it's a fallen system. And so we all have a desire to know God. God put that in us. We're made in his image, so, you know, it's a natural thing in our hearts. And so we search, whether we know it or not, we're searching for Jesus. And what happens is, as we search, in my case, I ran down the counterfeit paths, drugs, alcohol, New Age, all that junk, and it was counterfeit. And that stuff's designed to cause you to go into bondage and stay there. And that's why we see a lot of people in bondage today. But Jesus, one connection with Jesus, one true connection, and I'm not talking about, I love evangelists, but I'm not talking about the ones that are just trying to get on their belt, I got another one saved. I'm talking heart conversion, where they get to know Jesus and the goodness of the gospel message and everything that was released. And so for me, I was at this meeting and I met Jesus and it wrecked my world. I came alive. I was blind and now I see. And I had faith as a child because I didn't have all that doctrine to tell me any different. I wasn't raised in a church, so I didn't know any better. And so I believed what I heard and what I saw. And as I was listening to the voice of Holy Spirit, and when Holly was releasing, you know, she'd talk about idolatry, and I don't have any idols. And then you start, anything that exalts itself above the name of Jesus, anything you're spending more time with than Jesus or focusing on, that could be idolatry. And so, you know, I know there's some people in here who, you know, you're getting a little push right now. And this is what you do. Yield. Oh, that's me. Lord, help me. I open myself for your truth and revelation. I am so sorry. Repent for being God over your life or your work or your kids or your ministry. Just repent and say, Lord, you know, some of us are lording over our kids. We've got adult kids that are, you know, wayward or troubled, and we're believing for their goodness, but sometimes it's messing with what God wants to do. If we're holding on so tight that God can't get his arm in there, then you're Lord and he's not. And you know, I know I'm all over, but I feel like God is like, you know, I can see it. So I'm just going to tell you, God's dealing with us, okay? And so with the work stuff, for me, that was the last go, the last big one to go. It was, you know, the drugs and that other stuff, those may seem big, but really it's the stuff that, the stuff that people don't see in the heart. You know, I love that scripture where they talk about circumcise my heart. You know, circumcision is very private and you can't see that, you know, in the natural and certainly in the supernatural. You know, God desires our hearts to be circumcised. And so that's something so personal. Just like he's dealing with us right now with those personal issues of our heart. And you might be thinking, everybody knows it's me. Listen, we don't care that it's you. We're dealing with our own stuff, okay? And that's a trick of the enemy to get you to stay in the flesh and not deal and surrender with what the Lord is releasing for you for your victory. And so so for me, you know, I owned a ton of properties and I'll never forget the day that I realized they were idols. And how did I know they were idols? Well, they were in frames on the wall in my office. It was like a shrine, you know. And you know, the purchase price, the income on them, and blah, 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 and the surveys. And it's just crazy. Bum, bum, bum. The whole wall was filled with them. And I remember taking them and burning them. You know, just breaking the glass and burning them and saying, I'll have no gods beside you, Lord. No gods. And I didn't know how that was all going to play out. It wasn't like the Lord was saying, walk away from your family, walk away from your, you know, what you've built. But it was like, I knew there was so much wrong order in my life. I'm like, Lord, you got to help. And he did. He gave me just a little. And it had to do with trusting him too. And so For me, when he would tell me something in the private, you know, when you're with him, just him talking, you could be worshiping him or asking him to help you with a problem. It doesn't matter. Or just what are we doing today? He will always give you the answer. And if you can't hear, you tell him, I can't hear you. Could you speak a little clearer, please? And he will. So anyway, I've seen billboards with my answer on. You know, I've had somebody come up and say, blah, blah, blah. And I'd be like, that came from my prayer closet. You know, you recognize the footprint of God, the voice of God. He will use people to speak. Now, on the other hand, I've seen also fake prophecy. And I've seen so much damage from that. I'm veering a little, but I feel like we're here right now. You know, I can't tell you how many times, you know, I have a gift of discerning the spirits. And I grieve when somebody comes up and says, so-and-so prophesied that I'm going to get married and I'm going to have a baby. And my hair on my arm is standing up because it's not the Lord. It's a flesh word. And it does great damage. And I'm not against prophecy, but I'm against fleshly prophecy or adding to it. And so if somebody has released a prophetic word and you responded and received it and it hasn't come to pass, I ask the Lord, what's that about? What's the delay? What's my issue? Because it's never God's issue. If God releases it, it's a done thing. Now, there's a timing thing, but oftentimes it's ours timing, not God's. And so now let's just say somebody just prophesied and said, oh, you're going to have a baby. And that would be supernatural, by the way. and you know, you're going to get married. And I first thing I always do is say hallelujah, because I won't receive a word unless I know it's from the Lord. And to be honest with you, a lot of words are not from the Lord. They're good words that people wish upon you. And they don't know the difference. And you know, we've actually helped people learn how to tell the difference. We, you know, we'd sit in a circle and pray in the spirit. And then who's got a word? And if somebody would release it, it would have to bear witness. You know, and if it didn't, we'd say, you know, that just doesn't bear witness. You know, let's go in again and see. And so they learn to discern from their soul and the spirit. Because it's a training. We're all babies. Hello. Gaga. And so if you've received a prophetic word and it hasn't come to pass, ask the Lord, what's up? You don't have to have this long dialogue. Just say, Lord, what's going on with that? And he'll either say it's not true or you need to do this or it's a timing thing. He'll tell you. He won't say, I'm not telling you. You have to guess which door to go through. He's not like that. And so we make more out of things than we need to. And one of the things about prophetic words that I saw, when the Lord was teaching me this many years ago, you know, I must have had the dial too high on this. I had to walk in grace and mercy because I really struggled with fleshly words. You know, when you're a discerner or a seer, you just know and it's like, that ain't true. But how do you say that to somebody who's thinking that it's true? And so I had to learn to go to the Lord and say, Lord, what do I say? How do I help this person? Instead of wanting to give them the holy slap. You know what I'm saying? I'm kidding. So one of the ways the Lord taught me this was he set me up. And it was many years ago. Mary knows the story. I was so spitting mad. He was teaching me never do anything without asking him. Okay? I blew it. Somebody came up to me. Holly was gone. She was at somewhere, and Edgar was there. And one of these ladies was like, let's do a Holly line. And I'm like, a Holly line? Okay, what the heck is that? And she's like, let's pray for people. Well, I can pray for people. I love to pray. But what happened was she wanted to do a prophetic line. And I'm standing thinking, I didn't even ask the Lord. So I'm standing up there thinking, how did I get up here? Lord, forgive me. Lord, you got to get me out of here. Lord, cause the building to collapse. Do something, you know. And I'm standing there and I know I'm out of the will of the Lord. I know it. You know, when you know you're out of the will of the Lord, it's bad. Doesn't matter if it's a little out of the will or a lot. It's bad either way. And so I'm like, Lord, you got to help me. And he said, you got yourself into this. He said, I'm teaching you. I'm like, okay. So this girl comes up for prayer, and this other lady's standing there, and I'm spitting mad, and Mary's watching me. She's watching this whole thing. She's, because she knows me. She's known me forever, and I'm like, you know, under my tongue, I'm praying in tongues and trying to repent and, you know, run away and do it all, you know. And so this girl comes up, and she says, and the girl had on a beautiful, I never noticed what people's wearing. She had a beautiful butterfly shirt on. And this girl says, I see these beautiful butterflies. My hair on my arm goes, ring. And I'm like, you know. And but here's the interesting thing. The girl goes, really? And I'm like, what is that? And the Lord said, she's sowing from the flesh. The prophetic word, which wasn't prophetic, she released that. And the girl was receiving it through her emotions and not the spirit. See, there's a difference. And I was like, oh, you know, so I was like watching this go on, and it was totally, oh, and then it was some more fluff, fluff, fluff. And she was all happy because she received the prophetic word that she wanted. And it wasn't what the Lord was releasing. I learned a very good lesson that day. And so I feel like I'm supposed to share this other one. Holly's out of town many years later. I'm doing the Sunday night meeting for her. And this man came up, and he was, he didn't come all the time, but when he came, he wanted a prophetic word. That's why he came. And some people don't know the voice of the Lord, and we try to train people not to rely on us because we're not your God. He is. And we want you to hear and learn and grow. And if we just said, thus says the Lord all the time, you'd be eating Wheaties forever, you know, instead of steak. So this guy comes up, and he, first of all, he was upset because we were worshiping to a CD player because Holly wasn't there. Well, hello, that's what the Lord said to do. We do what the Lord says to do. And I could tell he was all mad. You know, I could just tell. And I'm like, this guy's a little angry. But anyway, so he came up. Where's Holly? She's not here. She's got something else. And he says, I need a prophetic word. And so I'm like, okay. So I check in. I go, Lord. And he gives me this word, which was not a good word. But it wasn't a bad word, but it was not the word he wanted to hear. And so I release it. And he got so mad, he left storming out and said, God would never say that. And he left mad. And I thought, yee. And I said, Lord, did I miss it? You know, I checked back in. Lord, did I miss it? And he said, nope, stand firm. I said, okay. And so he leaves, and the meeting's over, and he comes back in, and he wants to fight with me. And I'm like, the blood of Jesus, you know. And he wanted me to apologize for the word that I gave him. And I'm not sure why we're here, but I know the Lord's going here. And so, you know, I couldn't apologize for the word of the Lord, but I apologize for the way he felt, because I'm like, Lord, you got to give me something. He's going to beat me up. <You know? laughs> And there was only women left in the room. It wasn't like the men were still there, you know, but some of the intercessors picked it up in the spirit. They started praying in their cars, hidden, no, behind their prayer wall, no. And so, but there was a few women, and they started praying in tongues too that were in the room, and it got diffused. But here's the thing. I felt terrible for that guy. I'm like, Lord, you know, I really felt bad. Did I, not bad, like, oh, is Holly going to, no, Lord, how could I have helped him? You know, Lord, what did I do? What could I have done different? See, when I get in a situation that's not good, which is a lot, I always ask him, what could I have done better? Or what can I do to prevent this next time? You know, when the enemy attacks, I don't want to have to deal with it now. I want to know back then how I handled this now. And so, and it always has to do with the heart. And so the next day, I'm driving the tractor. I'm cutting the grass, and I'm talking to the Lord because I'm bothered by this. You know, just bothered that the man was so upset. And not at me, just upset at God, you know, and how things went. And it's like Holly left the keys, and I, there was a fist fight. And kidding, but you know, here, take care of the house of God while I'm gone, servant. And she comes back, and you know, there's holes in the wall from everything was fine. Here's the keys, you know. So the next day, I'm on the lawnmower, and I'm cutting the grass, and I love to cut the grass because I just love talking to the Lord and listening to Him. I said, Lord, I'm so bothered by that. And he said to me, that guy, he said, put a quarter in the jukebox. You know, he wanted a prophetic word, so he put a quarter in the jukebox. And he wanted to hear, love me tender. And you gave him, you ain't nothing but a hound dog. I was shocked that the Lord said that. I was shocked. But I know him, and I know he's true. And I'm like, okay, issue settled. And so we have this joke, you know, and actually I think Holly wrote a song about put a quarter in the jukebox. Listen, we all can hear his voice. We don't need another man. You know, that's why the Holy Spirit is here. And so here we're coming into a season. We're here. Whether you know it or not, there's a season here where we have to discern the voice of the Lord. Yeah. And the voice of a stranger. We have to know and not come into agreement with. And I'm going to tell you something. You know, oh, Lord, you're making me go here. The enemy is not stupid, but he's been defeated. But he thinks we're stupid because he's watched the behavior. He doesn't see the inside of who we are. And Jesus is waiting for the warriors to rise up and take back the keys in our houses, in our churches, in our communities. And as this comes forward, we have to know the battle plan. And we don't get that on the battlefield. We get that in the prayer closet. And when we get that, we have to recognize, see, whenever God gives me something, I don't just blah, I sit on it and it's like stew on the back stove. I put a little seasoning, take a sip. Is it good? No, it's still working. I'm very slow to release a prophetic word or a plan because I don't want the enemy to get a foothold in case I'm not prepared. And preparation comes from spending time in him. And there's many distractions that have taken over many people, and we're not aware of it. And it's slow. It's slow. It's like a slow drip. I'm thinking Facebook. You know, how many times do we check our Facebook page? You know, I remember in the lines when I'd wait in a store years ago before we had phones, you know, I would pull out a track and start reading, like, you know, God's Medicine or, you know, a Kenneth Hagee little book instead of looking at the tabloids. And now it's like pull out your phone and scroll Facebook. You know, we have to continue to feed on the word instead of the flesh. And so there's this thing going on where there's a shaking. And it's necessary. It's important because some of us are crusted over and don't know it. And I've said this a little bit ago, but I'm coming back to this. And there's going to be a great outpouring. And when it comes, it's coming suddenly. It's not going to be this little drip and trickle. It's going to be a powerful outflow. And we're seeing it in the spirit. And when you see it, it's here. And so I'm going to switch back to performance because I want to finish this chapter. So for me, you know, if you are a works-oriented person, you feel good when you do works. You feel good when you accomplish something. But at the end of the day, if you're not spending time in the presence, it's rubbish. It's sinking sand. It's foundations that are, when it shakes, you're going to fall. And I'm not saying that. I'm not prophesying that, but I'm telling you what the Word of God says about that. And I know because I went through it myself. In my fall, it was necessary because it was all man-made junk. And I am a temple of the Holy Ghost. You know, the Holy Spirit lives inside of me, temple of the God, the house of God. And so my foundation begins with that now. And I water it daily. Do I get it right all the time? No. But do I say, oh, man? No, I just say, oh, here I am again, Daddy. Hey, I'm sorry, I got sidetracked. I went over there and had an ice cream cone, but here I am. You know, and he just loves on me and wipes the ice cream off my chin, and he might even take a lick. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But but with performance, that was a tough one for me to... You know, that was probably harder than, well, I got delivered of drugs, so that was easy. It was like instant. But with performance, I had to continually yield until. The until. Now, that's many times going back and forth. Oh, man, I blew it. Oh, yeah. But then, here I am again, Lord. Here I am again, Lord. Until. And then there was this breakthrough. And the breakthrough came. I remember it as clear as could ever be. I never walked in the peace of the Lord. I just didn't. I always felt this pressure, this drive. It was actually a demon spirit on my back, and it would push me, do more, do it longer, do it harder. Are you sure you did enough? And it drove me. When I would think about stuff, I would constantly, instead of thinking of the Lord, I'd be back on that project, back on the, how can I fix that project? I got to get that project, the numbers to balance, or whatever. And so what ended up happening is I was living dual citizenship, you know, trying to do it and then working the earthly system, but praying in tongues, praying in tongues, praying in tongues. I love praying in tongues. It is so powerful, building those spiritual muscles. Do I get it right all the time? No, but here I am again, Lord, another push-up, another curl. And so I remember this one night, the first time it ever happened to me, I was in a living room praying with another person, and we were praying in tongues, you know, praying and praying and praying and praying. And then all of a sudden, whoosh. What's that? See, even my praying in tongues was works. How could that be? I'm not going to touch that because you got that. Hallelujah. So anyway, I felt the peace of God for the very first time. And I was like, what is that? And Holy Ghost said, peace of the Lord. I'm like, I like that. I don't ever want that to go away. And so as a works person, you try to work that up. But you can't. Because it's a work of the flesh. And so I'm like, Lord, what, you know, you ever have an experience with the Lord and it's so wonderful and you're like, okay, I had the perfect music on, the perfect curtain closed, the perfect candle burning, and the Lord just, you know, took, you know, tackled you and you're like, oh. And then the next day you're like, I want that again. How do I do? Okay, perfect. You know, he's not like that. And so he's not like that with anything, because that would be imitation. And he's all about habitation. And so once you taste him, you're hungry for more. We're designed to be hungry for more. And so when I tasted his peace, I was like, that is so sweet, you know. Well, it left. And so I tried to work it up all these different ways, couldn't do it, couldn't get. And it's not that I forgot about it, but you just keep moving on because, well, that project's got to get done. So fast forward, a couple years goes by. I can't remember exactly how it happened, but I know where I was sitting and I know what was going on. And I remember I was by myself and I was talking to the Lord. I was sitting there. I probably sat in that chair 6 hours, just looking out the window, praying and hanging with him and taking notes and just fellowshipping and loving on him and him loving on me. And all of a sudden I realized, there it is again. I'm like, what is that? That's the peace of the Lord. And he delivered me of a man-pleasing spirit that day. And a spirit of works. And how that happened was I yielded. When he showed me, I said, I'm never going back. You got to help me. And so I did like a couple proclamations that he gave me, and I don't remember what they were now. And what happened was the very next morning I woke up and there was this tree that had fallen in our yard. Now, as a works person, you want to get out there and cut that tree up. Or call somebody to do it. He wouldn't let me. I had to look at that tree every day for a long time. Had to cut the grass around that tree. Obedience always brings a blessing. So when you're like, well, see, sometimes we just, well, I'm just going to cut it up. And then I'll ask God later what to do with the wood. Come on. So what was happening was he was burning the dross out of my heart, you know, because there was stuff that was hidden in there about works and performance. And so as I pressed in and said, how about today? He'd say, no, leave that tree alone. I'd be like, okay. And I just would worship him and just spend time in his word. And you know, want to know what happened? I think the tree took care of itself eventually. I think, I don't remember somebody cut it or, I don't even remember because it's not an issue because I got delivered of dealing with that stuff. Mm-hmm. See, when he deals with it, was there a tree? You know, I think there was some story about that. I only remember it because he's having me share it. You know, when you get delivered, you forget that stuff because you're not carrying the old dead leg, you know, that used to support half your kingdom. So, fast forward. There's always more. You know, we're never delivered completely until we cross over into eternity. There's always little remnants and stuff. And so God allowed me to experience other areas of this performance. I used to do the sound for Holly and Edgar for years. And I made a deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'll do the sound. But once it's dialed in, I just want to worship. I don't want to have to sit here and crank all this stuff. And back then, we weren't fancy. And I think it was one little speaker and, you know, and Holly on the keyboard, probably. And I said, I'll do it, but I don't want to. I'm focusing on you, not this. And so we had that agreement. I'd dial in, and then I would just worship him. And then fast forward, stuff would start to mess up. And I learned how to deal with that by the Spirit instead of the flesh in a spiritual atmosphere, which was probably a blessing to me. And I know some of you guys are dealing with stuff like this. You're in the spiritual atmosphere. You are. And so some of you work in businesses that are dedicated to the Lord, and you're thinking, well, how can I do this? Well, the kingdom has come into your workplace. You've dedicated your workplace to the kingdom of God. It's his house. So why are you acting like it's not? And you got to wait and deal with this later. Deal with it now. Surrender. Because when you surrender, you get his best instead of your best, which is filthy rags. Your best couldn't save you. And your best isn't going to save your company. His best brings the blessing through obedience of servanthood to him. Him first, not to the employees, not to the husband, the wife, the kids, him first. And it takes a while. There's a big battle on this to get this. But once you get this, it's like incredible, incredible. The peace is incredible and the wisdom and the revelation. And it's continual. And the distractions you don't even catch anymore. The trees that fall, you don't even, oh, a tree? Lord, what are we doing? Call so-and-so. And they already know they're going to get the job. So stuff would mess up with the sound. And of course, I'd be like, oh, the stupid, you know, and I'd be like, and then the Lord say, wait. I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay, Lord, what are we doing? How do we fix this? And sometimes we just laugh because it's unfixable. It's just an attack. And you pray and command it. You know, for years, when I did the sound, I would pray. You know, when we do conferences and retreats, I would pray over every wire, every cable, every microphone, and I would bless it and dedicate it to the Lord and command the enemy to get his hands off. And did it work all the time? No. But it worked 99.9%. You know, every once in a while, the enemy did get in. And then I'd say, Lord, should I have done something different? You know, I don't blame myself anymore. And I don't look to blame others. I'm like, Lord, what should I do? Dad, how can we fix this? And so when stuff messes up, that was the one thing that would be under my skin. Or here's one. I'd be at a conference worshiping, you know, and if you are in sound, you know when it's not balanced right. And that used to drive me batty. And it would cause me not to enter in worship mode. I'd be like, don't they hear that? You know, I could go fix that. It's just a gain issue, you know. And I'd be like, battle. Meanwhile, missing his presence and missing me worshiping him. And so I'm like, Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm going to worship you, and I don't care how it sounds, because I don't care. And so I had to come to the terms, I don't care. And so when we had all the problems yesterday with the sound, we were laughing. I mean, you guys don't know the whole story. We had a different sound system set up that was part of this retreat center, and it didn't work. So then we had our backup system that we brought, and our earpieces wouldn't work. So we had a mix systems, and then we still had problems. We had wires break, but and the audio, the video, that's just the attack from the enemy. And it's preventable through prayer and commanding. We're not under, oh, no, no. I command you to work in the name of Jesus. You know, hello, behold, I give you authority to trample over every wire, every enemy, and speak life. And when you do that, it's amazing, life comes. I remember the first time I started to see his kingdom work, I'm like, it really works. And some of us just don't believe that we have a trust issue, but God's going to open that up and heal us from a lot of stuff this weekend. And I'm excited for what he's going to do. So I kind of nailed us performance mode people, because here's the thing. If we don't deal with this now, we won't hear. You're here, but you're not here because you're thinking about that bottom line or that kid or whatever. And see, there's always a battle, but you get to choose the victory. You do. Because it's already been won. We just have to take hold of Jesus' hand and say, okay, I'm going to try this new thing. That's not new. That's actually the way the kingdom works. But it's new to me. Will you help me, Jesus? And when you say that, he'll be like, sure, let's do it. And then what will happen is the dart will come, because that's the job of the enemy, to give a fiery dart of, oh, blah, 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 it's bad, or oh, what's my husband doing, or oh, can the world survive without me? And just when that happens, say, the blood of Jesus, go. Behold, God has given me authority to trample over every work of darkness. Your darkness, go in the name of Jesus. I choose to focus on Jesus. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. And when you ask for help, he always helps. Amen? I got to take a sip of my third sip of coffee today. You morning people. So I feel like God is... everyone in here is in a different place in the Lord. You know, we're all the children of our Father. But when I was worshiping last night in the back of the room, I saw a couple things. I saw, you know, the walk of the Spirit is developmental, meaning, you know, there's some people are still on training wheels. Some people are on tricycles. Some people are on fast bikes, motorbikes, airplanes, you know, moving vehicles. And what I saw was I saw people getting training wheels last night. I saw people getting training wheels off. I feel like the Lord is really going to equip us because we're going to make choices when we hear that ting in our heart. Well, I'll get the ting. You know, like, oh, that's what he wants me to work on now. And so if we open and yield to that, I feel like the Lord is going to take us great places in him. And the other thing I saw, and I wasn't going to share this, but when I was worshiping this morning, I felt like he wanted me to. And I think it's a trick of the enemy, so I'm just exposing this. I also saw people, yesterday when I was worshiping, I saw people in bumper cars going nowhere, you know, banging into each other. And I was like, and I was actually praying against that last night. And then I was like, Lord, what does that represent? And some people are so used to doing things the same way, they actually enjoy going in circles and banging into each other. And, you know, it's fun at the amusement park, but this isn't the amusement park. And so I just feel like right now I'm going to just, I just break the effects of life and the issues of life that have caused us to stay in delay or go nowhere. And I release the life of God into your hearts right now. And I actually command you to come out of those bumper cars and into your position in the kingdom of God. And I see, as I'm releasing that, I'm actually seeing people click in, and I'm seeing like the life force of God opening in people for the very first time. And I see the blinders. You know, sometimes people get dulled over when you know, because they don't know. They don't know the Holy Ghost. They just know church. And so I release the life force of God in you to open and come alive right now in the name of Jesus. And the Spirit of the living God, the voice of God, to the channel of the connection to be opened, where you don't hear the voice of the stranger, you don't hear the clatter and the chatter, you hear his voice and you know his voice and you know his truth. Come forth now in the name of Jesus. And I see symbolically, I just saw us all. There's still a few people that have some burdens and concerns. And here's the thing. He took our burdens. And so for us to hold them, why? You know, it's like me having all the money in the world and saying to Bob, I have all this money, but I'm not giving it to you. Keep your hands to yourself, please. And you're like, but why? I know that you offered that to me. Well, because. But if you open your arms, the natural response is to give you the best. And so sometimes people have to release their worst in order to let go of it to receive the best. It's kind of like grocery bags of all this junk. And I see bags of burdens that the Lord wants to take, because he wants you to receive everything he has. And do we know what it all is? No, and that's the fun of it. That's the fun of it. Because if we can compartmentalize it and think, well, I'm going to give him this and he's going to give... No, he's bigger. And so we have to release the expectations and the limitations that we have in the natural realm, because His ways are so high. So high. And He is the provider. He is the one who knows all things. And He's going to lead and guide us into all truth, into all things, if we trust Him. And so there's this thing of trust right now that He wants to bust. I'm seeing these wooden structures. They actually look like a fort or like a makeshift fire before it lights, of sticks and burdens and stuff all pushed together. And I see the Lord wanting to just let that go. And so if this is rising up in your heart, if you've got like a loved one or, oftentimes it's, kids, backslidden, finances, husbands, wives, work, whatever it is that you've been holding on to, will you trust Jesus right now? Will you give it to Him? Will you give it to Him? And I like to do this, I just like hand it to Him. I say, Lord, here it is. Or if there's a burden, let's say there's some cloudiness or some addiction and you're just not sure. Or maybe there's a healing that you're believing for and it just hasn't manifested yet. Could you just give that to Jesus? Your dream, your belief, what you think you need, just give it to Him and say, Lord, I'm giving this to You and I'm going to receive Your best. I don't know how it's going to look and I don't even care because You're good. You're always good and You only have good, and I'm choosing to trust You right now. And for some of you, this is the first time you've ever done that. And oftentimes the enemy will try and say that doesn't work. And he'll want to give you His package back. Just if you end up taking it back out of trickery, just say, I got it again. Lord, I'm giving it back to You. I'm releasing this to You. I don't want this. I want Your best. And when you do that, eventually there'll be a manifestation of His goodness and glory. And you'll be like, wow, wow. If people could recognize the goodness of His glory, they would not carry the stuff that they carry. It's through trickery and deceit that people carry it, and just lack of knowledge. And so the Lord is releasing and opening Actually, there's some healing. He's releasing healing right now. I'm seeing a heart valve that has, it's somebody had like a heart surgery and they put this thing in. It's a valve, and the Lord is healing that right now. He's like recreating the valve. And thank You, Jesus. We receive that. We release that in the name of Jesus. We speak wholeness to your heart. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm hearing the word toe. So there's a toe. Somebody's got an issue with the toe. And here's the thing, when it's prophetic, if He doesn't give me the whole thing, I'm not saying there's a toe that is, no, toe. I hear toe. So if you have an issue with your toe, believe for your healing. I don't know what it is, but toe, be healed in the name of Jesus. Toe, be made whole. Toe, be made whole. I'm hearing blind eyes open. And oftentimes when I hear that word, it's spiritual eyes. And so right now, blind eyes open. I command the eyes of the Spirit to open right now in the name of Jesus. Praise You, Lord. Praise You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so I'm switching back because I just heard the word fear. Is this too long? Are you guys okay? Okay. When we were preparing for the retreat, you can't prepare because it's the Lord and He's going to do what He's going to do. So you just bring everything. It's kind of like clothes. Well, it might be sunny, so I might wear shorts, but I better bring pants in case it's cold. It's like same thing. When you plan retreats, we try to listen and just do what He wants to do. And so, when I was praying over the music, the list, you listen and you listen to what He wants to do. And by the way, that first song, what was that first song? King of Glory. When that song came on, I was like, not this time, when I was listening to it when we were preparing, I was like so far gone in God when I heard, I was like, oh. And I just thought, oh, that was just an encounter with the Lord and me. And then I woke up the next day hearing that song. I heard it all through the day. I'm like, the Lord wants me to play this song. And I hadn't picked it. You know, I was like holding. I was just still listening and going with him. And some one of my friends posted it and said, oh, my gosh, I'm hearing. I'm like, I'm hearing that song, too. And so when that song came on, I actually heard Jesus laughing. And it was wonderful. So anyway, as I was going through the list, the Lord started talking to me about fear and that many people are struggling with fear. And I was like, really? I don't deal with fear. So I got delivered of spirit of fear. So, but I feel like the Lord wants me to just touch on this. And I think we'll deal more with this later. But, you know, fear is, there's two kinds of fear. There's a natural fear and there's a, demonic fear, but, you know, and fear, the demonic fear, I'm sure everybody is aware of that type of fear. And I'm sure you're aware of the natural fear. Like, natural fear would be, you know, like maybe you almost got ran over by a car or something. Oh, I mean, you know, that scared me or whatever. But demonic fear is oppressive and it holds people in bondage and prevents them from walking in the fullness of God in every area. And I had to get delivered of this thing and it took some time. And, you know, fearful people tend to not want to be noticed or seen or do anything because they're afraid. And so I'm not calling anybody out. I don't do that. But I feel like there's an actual tormenting spirit of fear. And so right now I just take authority of that spirit and I command it to leave right now in the name of Jesus. I break the hold over my brothers and sisters and I command you to go in the name of Jesus. And I'm reminded of that scripture, perfect love, cast off fear. And Jesus, the thing about fear is when there's a connection with Jesus, the whole thing of the fear is the spirit of fear is to keep you out of the presence, to keep you disconnected from the kingdom of God. And you can be in the kingdom of God and still have a spirit of fear. And just there's a disconnect in that. There's just not the fullness of his glory in the area. And I feel like the Lord is just busting those like sticks, like just because people have been crying out. See, the hungry get fed. The ones that are crying out, they get their answers. It's the casual that, and I used to be casual. What are we doing today? Nothing. Okay. And you never go anywhere. It's like a bumper car that just keeps going around and around. And so I'm believing that the people that were in bumper cars are going to be released from that and actually have a hunger for God in such a way where they just got to have more of him. And they just choose the right thing to lay down their junk, their trinkets, their little treasures and idols and press into his fullness, which he's released. And so with that spirit of fear, sometimes that thing will try to come back and because that's its job. But I want you to know, I once saw, you know, I've seen it before, but I once saw a spirit of fear when it was trying to come at me. And the thing was like the size of an ant. But it had this like, whoa thing. But I wasn't paying attention to the whoa. I looked at the size of that thing and I started laughing. And, you know, oftentimes things look bigger and spookier than they are when it's the enemy. And because here's the thing, God's glory is so huge. You know, it's like the counterfeit versus the real. And so if we focus on the bad, you know, it's hard to see the good. And so oftentimes I'll just say, I choose to see your glory. I choose to see your goodness. And those issues leave. They just have to leave. They can't stand in his presence. And so I'm releasing you from captivity today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank you for right now. Lord, I'm not sure what you're doing next, but we receive it all. We receive it all. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the revelation. I thank you for what you've opened in the hearts of these people today. I thank you for the water, the living water that you are pouring in. And like a good vine dresser, Lord, you're tending to the branches and you're pruning what needs to be pruned. And you're opening the things that need to be opened, and you're showing us the things that we need to turn from. I actually see some people turning. It's been justifiable sin, And you've done it so long, you're just used to it. But I'm seeing that scripture, turn your back on sin and flee. And so right now I release that, and I release the goodness of God into those areas of darkness where His light shines. Darkness has to flee. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Laurie Scanlon. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.